Honored to be here tonight. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll try our best to use good use of the time. And I don't see a clock back there. So that's a good thing for me, right? I love that. No clock staring at me. You know. Anyway, what time do we usually get out?
Oh, we usually quit preaching about 2 hours or so.
Okay, great. Yeah. All right. I like that. Okay. What really time do we get out? Okay. That did you have?
The lights are on a timer. They go off.
Good. Well, I just want to let you know it's a joy to be here tonight, all the way from Bellingham, Washington. We are a family of 13. Actually, we have more than that. My wife and I have 11 kids, two of them, well, not more than 13. I guess that's the total. But anyway, Juliana got married 3 years ago, and she's with Brother Fisher, married to a great guy. And they both serve with Brother Fisher down in San Diego. That's where we came from. That's our sending church. And we are in our 17th year in Bellingham, Washington. And I thank God for it. I wouldn't trade it for Bill Gates' checkbook. Just want to thank God for everything he's doing, and we're having a great time serving the Lord up there, and we're struggling in the world and trying to win folks to Jesus just like you are, and I feel at home, you know, just seeing folks on a Thursday night, and so what you could do for your pastor, the best thing you could do for him and the Lord would just be vibrant and ready to go when he's out of town, and just make him proud of his church. And don't skip when he's out of town. Just stay right with it. Because I know as a pastor for 17 years now, the most wonderful feeling that I could have is if God has me out of town, that the church is doing great while I'm gone. And it would be okay with the Lord and Brother Byram, I'm sure, if revival broke out while we were gone. That's okay, right? It's okay for people to be happy, right? While the pastor's in another country. But just think, he's got his heart working both areas, but it's really back here, and you know Brother Byram. What a blessing. I love your pastor, and I thank God for him. I don't know him very well, but I met him at, I don't even know where I met him. I think it was, I forget what bar we were in, but no, just joking. We met somewhere, and we had a good time at camp, and it's just, I heard your pastor's testimony about how he grew up, and I just fell in love with everything about him when I heard how he got saved and how he got called into the ministry. So the best thing you can do is just keep his back and help him, amen, and just keep going for Jesus. Man, there's nothing better. All right, well, I want you to know something about your van. What's really neat is that we had a Navy officer buy us a van for $700 17 years ago, and it was at an auction. His ship was getting rid of it in Everett, and he found out somebody was going to bid on it, and he asked me if we'd like to have it. He would go ahead and bid on it. Well, there's a little birdie that told him what the other guy's bid was. It was $700, so he bid $701, and we got it for $701, and he paid for it, and it's still running. It's horrible, and the liner is caving down. We went over to help somebody do some soul winning, and one of the guys in our church, he stuck his head up in the headliner and kept it up for about an hour while he rode, you know, real faithful guy. And he just sat there, listen, just keep it going, whatever you have to do. If a Band-Aid will fix the engine, then throw a Band-Aid on it. But whatever it takes, you know. I wish that fella that stabbed your tire, was it? What? Yeah. I wish that guy, that young sophomore in Pennsylvania, would have just gone out into the parking lot and stabbed tires instead of children. You know, so it's a pretty good thing. Praise God that it's just a tire. Amen. In a crime area. Thank God for that. Well, we all have our little devils that are hanging around, and we all have the enemy out beside us, and you know, we can live a righteous and holy life, and God will protect us. He will protect you as you live for him. It's just a wonderful thing to serve the Lord. We've been with Brother Fisher on staff about 9 years, and after college in Florida, I went to college, and I got invited to a Baptist church in 1978, and the first person I ever heard preach was a guy by the name of Carl Hatch. Does anybody know who he is? I mean, if you have ever heard that guy, you know what a shock I had. I was a Navy sailor, came to a church. The guy said, "Hey, y'all ever been to a revival?" And I said, "Nope, I don't know what that is." He said, "Y'all got to come to our revival." So he handed me a bus schedule instead of giving me a ride. He handed me a bus schedule. Take the bus. And so, I took the bus way out into El Cajon. And all these guys were sitting around this pink church. It was called Lighthouse Baptist Temple. Kind of rowdy. Everybody had wingtip shoes on, three-piece suits, popping banaka, and all at the door. And I came down. I wasn't dressed, very fancy at all. Right off my ship. And I looked, and I came down this parking lot, and these guys were all staring at me. Oh, man, I don't know what did I get into. And they said, "Hey, are you saved? Are you born again?" How it was in the 70s. And I said, I don't know about all that, but I know I have Jesus in my heart. So I was brand. I didn't even know the terminology. I didn't know how to talk to anybody about the Lord. And so these guys were all confused. They didn't. But I got in, and the church was not much bigger than this room. And Carl Hatch was up there screaming and yelling and rocking the pulpit back and forth and slamming his fist down. Veins were popping out of his neck. His face was all red. And man, I'll never forget it. I really needed a wake-up call when I got into church. And he gave the invitation. Everybody got up, and they started walking toward the altar, and I didn't even know what that was. I'd never been in church before. He started snapping his finger at me like this. And I was coming down the aisle, and I go, "What did I do?" And he says, "Somebody check him out. Somebody check him out." And he started snapping. Man, I'll tell you, I thought I was in trouble. That was my baptism by fire. But I want you to know, it did me good. I'm a pastor, all right? You understand the change. It's a good thing to be saved. How many saved tonight? Amen. You guys believe you get to keep it forever? Amen. Of course you do. Amen. And man, thank God for your salvation. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. You know, Jesus can come back anytime, and we're all ready. I hope everyone's ready for him. I really thank the Lord what he's done for us up in Bellingham. You know, I grew up right here at the airport when I was a kid. We moved here in 1963. And back then, I don't know if anybody knows about Bow Lake Trailer Town. Does anybody know where that is? Right across the airport. And so that's where I grew up for 7 years. And I used to say, "Hey, Mom, I'll be back. I'm going to go play." She said, "Okay, honey, bye." And we'd play in the woods, and we'd cross the Highway 99 and go into the airport, run around the airport, and that's the kind of childhood I had. We'd go to our treehouse, and then we'd go to the airport, and then we'd come back to the trailer town, go catfishing. I thought Tom Sawyer ain't got nothing on me. I mean, we built rafts on the Bull Lake Pond out there. I stole a bicycle one time when I was a kid and threw it in the sewage pond right there. I don't even know if they still have one, but they used to have a big sewage pond out there. And my dad had to fish that bicycle out of that sewage pond. I had an exciting childhood. We would come back from someplace, and the manager of the trailer park would be parked in front of our house. I mean, we just had a fun childhood. Breaking windows. Not that you should do that, but, my dad, he says, "How in the world did you break the laundry room window?" I said, "Dad, it was easy." He said, "Show me how you did that." And so I rolled a rock up the slide, and it launched the rock, and I broke it the second time. I tell you, I had a crazy childhood. It was just right here, right up the street. It was just fun. And whenever I come to the airport or come down Highway 99, I remember my childhood and all the time we had at Bow Lake Trailer Town. It was just unbelievable. But guess what? There's a Baptist church right outside, and they never visited the trailer park. We had 50, 60 kids in the trailer park. We could have had a bus, you know, and we never, ever got anybody knocking on our door ever. And I always wondered what would have happened in my life. I think I could have made my teenage years count for the Lord if somebody would have just given me a chance earlier. So let's keep soul winning. Amen. Amen. Let's just keep visiting, whatever it takes. Amen. Well, I want you to turn in the Bible now to Proverbs chapter 3. And the brother, I think Dave, is it? You picked that verse, and he didn't know it, but that's exactly the verse that God has been dealing with my heart about. And the whole message tonight is on Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. Let's turn there, and if you will, we'll take a look at that tonight. How many believe, honestly, that the Lord keeps his word? Do you believe that? And on this side of life, not just in heaven, but he'll reward us and deal with us and judge us according to our works and our heart and the way we live while we're on earth. And it's very important for us to realize that we have a choice to make. And tonight I want to just encourage you to make the choice, because it is your choice, of just how to live, what kind of person do you want to be, and what do you want to have God do in your life? Because it's so important that we choose the right way. And I don't want you to think tonight that we're a bunch of hyper-Calvinists and five-point Calvinists. I don't like that doctrine. They say some of the most heartless things. And where I am in Bellingham, up in Linden, it's a Dutch community. A lot of the churches up there believe that if you're born the way you're going to be, whether you've been elected to go to heaven, that's wonderful. But if you didn't get elected to go to heaven, then that's your tough luck, and go ahead and sin your life away. You don't have a choice in the matter. And I want you to know, folks, we do have a choice. Amen. God gave us a choice, not only to receive his son, but he gave us a choice on how to live. And this verse is so important. Let's take a look at it tonight, and I'll do my best to just be a blessing to you tonight. And I want you to know, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching for you and to you, but I'm not preaching at you. I think it's important to come to church and get fed, amen? Yes. It's important to have a little fun too, right? Yes. Where's Brittany? Brittany, you're not married yet, are you? Can I counsel you tonight from the pulpit? Is it okay? You're not going to get embarrassed, are you? Can I just say, learn how to cook? Amen? How many of you ladies say amen to that? Yeah. How many of you men say hallelujah, my wife knows how to cook? Brittany, there was a newlywed couple, and they had just gotten married. And the husband went off to work, you know, took his lunch pail and took off, worked real hard, shipyard, whatever. He came back, and his wife was curled up on the couch, her face to the cushions, weeping uncontrollably and sobbing. It was just their first week after their honeymoon, and she cooked him a big meal, and he dropped his lunch pail, and he said, "Honey, what's the matter? What is it? We just got back over here. You're already crying. What is it?" And he kneeled down on the couch, and she said, "Oh, you'd never understand." And he said, "No, tell me, what is it, honey? What's the matter?" And she said, "Well, I cooked you a meatloaf, and it was just so nice. And I put it out on the back porch so it could cool off, and the dog ate it." And the husband said, "Oh, honey, don't worry about that. We'll always get another dog." But so I want you to know, you better learn how to cook, okay? That's good counsel, amen? You know how to cook, don't you? Good, good, good. I thought, I can't. She's single, I can say that, you know. You take the warning, sister. You better learn how to cook, amen? Oh, my goodness. And, you know, maybe something more than ramen, right? Amen? Okay, amen. Well, but with all of our kids, man, we have a great time. After Sunday night, we have, can you imagine 9 kids in our kitchen? I mean, Jack, he's going to be six. He's running around going crazy and buzzing here and buzzing there. And we got the adult kids. You know, we have Jeannie, Justin, Jeannie, Joy, and Jason, and Jana, and Jeanette, and Joanna, June, and Jack. And we just have so many. They're all J's. And I love that because it's easy. J number four, you stop it, you know. But I just haven't numbered him yet. But we're in the kitchen, and they're all running around and bumping into each other and opening the fridge and getting snacks and food and goofing off and cutting up. And I'll tell you, I thank God for that. You know where the Bible says, happy is a man that has his quiver full? My quiver is quivering. It's full. But I want you to know, I don't think everybody ought to live like that. It was just something my wife and I trusted the Lord with, and he'll give you faith. But whatever happens, you know, the Lord, he's the one that takes care of that. But I got to tell you, it's been fun starting a church. And we've been starting Evergreen Baptist Church for 17 years. It's just one trial after the next. But, you know, it's amazing how God will take care of you while you serve him and meet your needs. And I got a couple things I want to share with you tonight. But here's something that I decided to do a long time ago. Look at chapter 3, now verse 33. You've seen this many times. It's a memory verse. I want to urge you to memorize this. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. But, and thank God for the buts in the Bible, but he wants to butt into our lives. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. So there's a lot of contrast in the Bible. Here's one big contrast is for you and I tonight. If you would be righteous and live a godly life and choose to do that, here's what the blessing is. But he blesseth the habitation of the just. That means if you're saved and you're living for God, and you've made the choice to do that, you will be surprised how wonderful your home can become. And if you would look at the world, there is a curse. God still curses people's lives. It's a heartless thing to say nowadays. It's not politically correct to say that, but it's the truth. If somebody lives an ungodly life, they don't get to have the joys that we have. They don't get to have answers to prayer like we do. They don't benefit from living a godly life unless they live one. So the wicked people, the people that want to live in sin, enjoy the pleasures of sin, and act like an unsaved person, a Christian has a choice to make. And I want to encourage you tonight that God will reluctantly, he will punish and even curse. This isn't just the Old Testament. It's for us today. Let's read it again, and we'll have a short prayer, and then I want to preach to you a little bit about this. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Father, tonight, I thank you so much that you know where we live. You know our house. You know our address. Whether it be a one-room unit, maybe just some kind of a little a studio apartment or a great big mansion. Lord, thank you so much. You know exactly where we are. And Lord, we pray and ask you please to help us to choose to live the right way and help us to choose tonight to do the right thing all the time. And God, I pray you'll forgive us where we fail you, but Lord, may we always be pointed in the right direction, moving in the right direction, choosing to serve you and love you no matter what the world says. And we'll thank you for it because we expect to be blessed out of it. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I've said, five-point Calvinism says that salvation is predestined for each person and for only those that are elected by God before the creation of the world, and that man really has no choice in the matter. Now, I don't believe that. I believe Jesus said, whosoever will may. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 2, that Jesus didn't just die for the saved people. Is that right? Everybody understand that? He didn't just die for those that would receive him. The Bible says, not for ours only, our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Is that right? So these things that we deal with up there is very serious, because we even had a lady down at the mission. My wife dealt with her, and she said that the preacher told her that she was always going to be a sinner, that she was just born wicked. And so she decided that she just gave up and didn't want to serve God, because she felt she couldn't serve him, because the preacher told her that she was predestined to go to hell. And that's a terrible thing. That takes the sweetness out of life altogether. I want to know that if I want to choose to do right, I can do it. Amen. I mean, if God says, hey, anybody want to follow me? Would you like to follow me? I want to be able to say, yeah, man, sign me up. Where do I sign up for this? I did that. I'm glad for it. You know, that lady got saved. My wife dealt with her. And then one day in church, here she comes. Didn't even recognize her. She's all dressed up pretty, got a dress on. Her hair was done. She had a little bit of makeup on. And I mean, she just looked like just a fine, attractive, sweet person. And she came and sat down in church. I didn't even recognize her. My wife didn't even recognize her. And you know what happened? When Julie talked to her, she explained to her that it is your choice, and you can serve God, and you can live for Jesus. And don't let anybody tell you that it's all predetermined. You can do it. You can serve him. He'll accept you. And she went back to the mission and got right with God and got her heart right and everything. And she went and she came back down to Seattle, or she was on her way to Seattle. She had a teaching degree, and she said that she called up and she had a job waiting for her. So she went from the mission back to the schoolroom to teach. Isn't that great? I mean, God will give you a choice. And I want to ask you, have you thought about this lately, that you have a choice to make? I made a decision one day back in 1974 to receive the Lord as my Savior. That was a choice I made. I heard the radio program, turned it off. The preacher was on the radio. I turned the radio off, got on my knees over in Renton. And I asked Jesus to be my Savior that night. I had never read the Bible, never understood what church was all about. Like I told you, the first Baptist church I ever went to was a fire-breathing blowtorch Baptist church, amen, with Carl Hatch, amen. And man, I'm glad I did that. But I made a choice to receive Christ as my Savior. Amen. And that is wonderful. But that's not the only thing we do, see. We made a choice. I asked my preacher, what does this mean to serve God full time? What does it mean to call to preach? He took me aside at a picnic, and he said, what do you want to be for the rest of your life? I said, I don't know. He said, what are you right now? I said, well, I'm in the Navy, and I'm a welder, and firefighting, and some plumbing, and you know, that kind of damage controlman. He says, is that what you want to do the rest of your life? I said, I don't really know. He said, why don't you pray about preaching? I said, okay, I will. He says, if it doesn't go away and you just keep praying about it and it gets sweeter and sweeter and pretty soon you can't do anything but that, he said, the chances are that God's calling you to do it. So I started praying, and man alive, the rest is history. 1979, the Lord called me to preach. But I want you to know it was a decision that I made. Now, what kind of Christian do we want to be? Well, I believe it's a choice we make. We can't blame society for anything anymore now that we're saved. How many understand you can't look back in your childhood and hang on to the way you were raised now that you're saved? Is that right? Am I upsetting anybody tonight? There's no excuses. Amen. Amen. I'm just saying, if the Lord saved you, He gave you a new address in heaven. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Gave you a new body, a promise of a new body. What else did he? My goodness, what all the blessings? Oh, he put your sins behind his back, in the bottom of the sea, as far as the east is from the west. Washed them clean with his blood. Gave you a brand new person to follow, the Lord Jesus. Put you in a family. Amen. Is there really any excuse now? You say, well, I don't know. I'm, I think because of my race, I don't think I can serve God. No. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. Amen. There is nobody that God would reject, whether you had a bad lifestyle, whatever race you are, whatever country you're from, doesn't matter who you are. I mean, for whosoever a will may come. It's a choice. You know, I had a rough childhood, and your pastor had a rough childhood. And he's not using it as an excuse not to serve God. Is that right? It's a choice we make. But I tell you what, I'm glad I chose. I'm glad the Lord said, if you'd like to serve me, I have something for you to do. Now, there's no special thing about me. There's no higher educated gene in my brain. I got C's all the way through school and halfway through college. And I mean, I got A's in the important thing like art and PE, right? But listen, there's nothing God looked at me and said, "Oh, Brother Shaver, I've been waiting for you. I didn't know how wonderful you are. Why, come down, and I'd be honored to have you serve me." You know, God doesn't do that. He says, "Look, pal, you ain't going to make it without me. If you want to serve me, I got something for you." Amen. Hey, follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men, a fisherman, a tax collector, somebody like Peter. What was Peter more than a fisherman? Man, he was just a wild fire. He was just crazy, wasn't he? I like how God will take anybody and say, "Would you like to serve me? I have something." Aren't you glad the Lord knows where to put us? It's wonderful to serve the Lord. And you know that. You're here on a Thursday night. My goodness, you already have this down. But let me ask you something. Do you think God would put a curse or punish one of His own children? Do you think that's not in society today? Can I just say something? Is this being recorded? Okay. Well, I don't mind it, but, you know, when our kids were young, I mean, we paddled them. And I'm not ashamed of it. We never in public, though. I don't want to go to jail. But we, you know, that's why there's so much padding down there in the southern end. It's there for a reason, not just to sit. It's there to get, it's shorter. Listen to this. My coach in high school used to say, "Gentlemen, it's shorter distance from your rear end to your brain than it is from your ear to your brain." And I said, "Man, I don't want to get in trouble with that guy." No way, man. He was a big old muscle-bound football guy, man. When guys used to get swats in junior high, "Get me out of here. I'm never getting in trouble. No way. That guy would kill me." And I never got a swat from him. You know what, God? He's bigger than any coach. Amen. He can skillfully skin you. He can punish you, and nobody else would know it. He's so wonderful that He knows you just so intricately and so personally that He can discipline you like the loving Father that He is. And He knows your heart. He knows if you've chosen to serve Him or not and to do right. Amen? How many right now you've just chosen to be perfect for the rest of your life already? Amen? It's just that way, right? Let's give it a go. None of us have reached it yet. We might as well give it a try. But that's the way God, He does know how to punish. And all, listen, the Bible says, He chastises every single son that comes to Him. For if any of us are without chastisement, then are we bastards and not sons. We've got to be careful to understand that we're not playing games with God. He knows how to punish, and He knows how to punish heavily, and He knows just what to get in our hearts. Now, I say this not to try to bring fear into everybody in a bad way, but how many understand that that's a healthy fear, right? To fear God in a good way. How many want to stay out of trouble? When somebody else is getting in trouble, how would you like to be the one that's innocent? That's the way I want to live. A lot of pastors are falling out of the ministry. A lot of guys, some of them are even going to jail. Every time that happens, I want to run down to my knees and say, God, please help me. If it happened to those guys, I don't want to have that happen to me. God, keep me strong. Keep me choosing the right way. Keep me right. Help me. I can't make it without you. I don't want to live in this world and be like some of the guys that fall off, hurt their families, ruin their marriage, and hurt the people in their church. I don't want to do that. I want to choose the right way. And praise God, by the grace of God. Never lost the trust of anybody in my church. Never hurt my wife. And I want to keep it that way. I've never hurt my children, never hurt my people. I don't want to do that. But I know this, that I serve a God, and you do too, that he will not just let everything go. Now, I want you to see something in the Bible, and I hope you would understand that this isn't by way of any kind of harshness, but it is in the Word of God. Can I ask you to turn to Hosea, please, chapter 4? We have Israel, and Israel was the apple of God's eye, the children of Israel, the children of the Lord. And they rebelled against God. Ephraim became an idolater, and he chose to do that. Nobody told him to do it. Nobody forced him to do it. Look at chapter 4, if you will, please, in verse 17 of Hosea. He says, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Now, there's a danger in this world for Christians to get out and to start having their heart linked up with evil things. And it is possible for a child of God to get into sin. And there is a payment for that. And we ought not to choose that. We ought to choose the right way. Look at chapter 5, verse 6. They shall go with their flocks and with their herds to seek the Lord, but they shall not find him. He hath withdrawn himself from them. These are people that God loved. These are people that he gave himself for. He brought them out of Egypt, and yet when they got into the promised land, they began to sin, and they began to choose the wrong way. After all the prophets and after all the warnings of Moses and so many good godly people and so many miracles, let us not forget what God has done for us. Amen? Amen. Let's remember what he has done, and let us choose the right way all the time and fight the good fight. Look at chapter 5, verse number 9. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel have I made known that which shall surely be. And let's go down to verse number 11. Now, I don't want to be harsh. I just want to show you God cursed Ephraim. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked after the commandment. Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and to the house of Judah as rottenness. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb. Yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound. For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah, I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him. I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction. They will seek me early. So there was a curse upon the children of Ephraim. It was a very, very sad day for Ephraim. Now, if you'll go to chapter number 9, let's look now in chapter number 9, verse number 12. So the curse of the Lord is upon the house of the what? Wicked. Wickedness. But he blesses the habitation of the just. Two choices. Let's look at verse 12. And it says, though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them. that there shall be, there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, is planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. And you can read down there, and you can see there's a whole lot of problems for the people that, that live wicked lives. Is it important for us Christians to do the right thing? Is it important to have those daily devotions and walk with God? Listen, there's never a time in this history of this world where it's more important than right now. Know this for certain, that God will surely judge and punish our sins. He's not going to be mocked. Whatsoever we sow, that exactly what we shall reap. But the blessings are there too. Aren't you glad for that? How many like the fact that God just doesn't say, don't do this, but he says, here's what you should do. Amen? Hey, teenager, don't listen to rock and roll. But I got something for you that you can listen to. Amen? That's the kind of thing. We just don't go around saying, no, stop that. Don't do this. Quit that. Don't do that. We don't do that. Don't say this and don't say that. But after a while, we go, I can't do anything. My sister came to me. She says, you Christians, you can't have any fun. Everything's a sin for you. And I didn't even have time to tell her, no. There's a lot of fun things we can do. You know, we can have fun as a Christian. Amen? Oh, yeah. I'll tell you what. You just follow me around sometimes. I'll show you that I don't go home and sit in a dark closet every day and never have any fun. I mean, we play, we goof around, we have clean fun. Amen? Amen. Clean fun. Clean fun. Happy times. There's a blessing for those that choose the right way. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. We're gonna land here in a minute. Proverbs chapter 10. Let's turn there. How many are glad you're saved?
Amen.
Amen. Have you ever told your face about it? Paul Chappell said that one time. Anybody glad you're saved? Would you please tell your face? Your face hadn't found out you're saved yet. Oh, wow. What a great thing. We need to be reminded how happy we are yet. Amen. Have your kids ever yelled from the back seat, Dad, are we having fun yet? Oh, see, yeah, this is real fun. Amen. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 22 now. I'll tell you, it's great. Look at verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now, think about that verse. It's not money. You know, we don't say, hey, go to church and you'll be rich. I can prove that ain't true. I have had to eat more spaghetti and more ramen and more preacher steak. That's bologna. And I'm not complaining, but I have also eaten pretty good too. Amen. It's a lot of fun. You get to both, but it's not saying that you're going to be rich. My wife and I burned furniture in Jacksonville, Florida, because we ran out of money to keep the house clean, or not clean, but to keep the house warm. Yeah. You know, we had this old couch given to us, and I said, honey, do you like that thing? She says, I never did like that. I said, let's burn it. Because we had an insert. It was down into the 20s. She said, that's okay with me. So, man, we got that thing all chopped up, man, put it in the fireplace, and we stayed warm. And then I started staring around, and I saw this big old nasty, ugly piano. She looked at me, and she said, oh, no, please, let's not burn that. And I said, okay, we don't have to burn that. I'll tell you what, it doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy. That's not what God's talking about. But you're going to have richness inside, amen? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You're going to be a happy person. And people are going to look at you and say, you know what? I want to be a Christian. I'm not saying that we're for lifestyle evangelism, you know. Otherwise, the Mormons would be doing a lot better than we are because they look a lot nicer. And they wear tags, too, and they smile. So I'm thinking about Evergreen Baptist Church, you know, and having a bicycle ministry and all that. But anyway, it's not lifestyle I'm preaching, but it's inward. Amen. Serving the Lord because you want to. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Let's go to Genesis 12. Remember what God said to Abraham? Anybody remember what the promise was back there? He said, I'm going to make a blessing out of you. I'm going to make you a blessing. And I'm going to make a promise. If we ever got to the depth of this wonderful promise, it would make everybody in the world want to become a close, God-fearing, saved Baptist. Amen? Say amen quick, because I thought we were in a Baptist church. Amen? Amen. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Let me ask you something real quickly. Was that something that Abraham had a choice in the matter?
No.
The blessing, but did he have to leave his family? Did he have to do it? Yes. But was it a choice that he did it? He went down into Egypt, didn't he? He got out of God's will for a little while, didn't he? What if Abraham would have said, nah, thanks a lot, but I don't think I want that. Anybody know who Ishmael is? Okay, did Ishmael have to act like, did he have to reject his blessing? Remember Esau? You remember what Esau did? He sold his birthright, didn't he? Did he have to do that? It was a choice, wasn't it? Did anybody force Ishmael to have such a hard heart? No. He chose to be that way. You see, God says, he's rich unto all that call upon thee. He's rich unto all that cometh unto me. I will in no wise cast out. God has room for everybody. I'm thankful he had room for me. Man alive. Oh. I was just a nut, just an absolute nut. But I'm sure glad I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Look at Deuteronomy number 11, if you will. We're moving right along. I'll be done in just a minute. I never know what to do if there's no clock. Amen. I'm lost. Deuteronomy chapter 12. How many have already chosen your heart? You're going to do the right thing. Keep serving God. Be blessed. Find out where the blessing is. Get under the spout where it all comes out. And don't give up. Stay strong. Hang on. If you stay where God's blessings are, eventually they cascade down upon your head like a Seattle rain. And it's true. All right, let's look now. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. All right. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Are they not on the other side of Jordan, by the way, where the sun goeth down in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal beside the plains of Moreh? For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you, and ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and the judgments which I have set before you this day. Now, I want you to know something. It's important that we realize that God does command us things, but it is our choice to follow that command and to do the right thing. 10 men went to spy. Or 12, and 10 were bad and 2 were good. Caleb and Joshua made a choice. Can you hear him? Come on, man. We can do this. I want to do it. God said we could do it. He's over there. Look at all he did already. What are you guys doing? This is, you're, and they ripped their clothes and they ripped their garments and they got so mad they fell on the ground and they cried out to God, you guys are making a terrible mistake. We can do it, man. Look what God, they're grasshoppers. We're not grasshoppers. They are. And boy, I tell you, how'd you like to have the spirit of Caleb, amen, and Joshua?
Yeah.
It's a choice. It's a choice. I want to encourage you tonight. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter one thing what the world says or what the devil says. You need to make a choice tonight if you're going to serve God. And I know you are because you're in church. But it's also a choice of what kind of Christian you want to be. Let me tell you just one more verse. Look at Revelation chapter 22 and we'll be done. You know, you have to kind of get up every day and sometimes you have to renew your choice. You don't get to get saved and then have the easy street the rest of your life. I wish it was like that. Don't you wish we didn't have to try hard? Don't you wish you could just lay back and just say, praise God, I'm saved. I don't have to fight the devil. I don't have to stay away from anything. I can just be a happy Christian. No, it's not like that. It takes a choice. Paul said, I die daily. He kept his body under subjection. Every day was a choice. I'm going to get up and serve God today. Look at this now, Revelation 22, verse number 12. Jesus said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man. Give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus is going to repay us for all the choices we've made. Amen? It's an awesome thing. I didn't know years ago that I was going to pastor a church. I told Pastor Fisher, I said, Preacher, I think God wants me to pastor a church. Would you pray with me about it? We got down and prayed. And he supported us for 5 years, over $500 a month for 5 years. I had to call him to stop supporting us while we got our church started. It was a miracle, just a tremendous miracle. But you know, if I hadn't have chosen to go to Bellingham, somebody else probably would have. I'm not God's gift to Bellingham, but I'm sure glad I'm there. I feel like somebody got my name mixed up with somebody else and I got it. I feel like maybe God had somebody else planned out and he said no. I said, yeah. Now, the blessings are still there. I'm not an unhappy man. Let me tell you real quickly what happened to me and I'll be done. In the last 2 years, and if you've heard this, just act like you've never heard this before. I'm sitting in Starbucks having coffee before the bus meeting. And in walks a total stranger, sits down a couple seats over and just stares at me. He got up and he said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I thought so. It's nice to see somebody reading their Bible in public. And I said, I do it all the time. It's natural for me. And he said, God bless you. And gave me a $100 bill. Just put it on my Bible. I didn't know what to do. And off he goes out the door. The same guy came in the next Saturday. Same guy. I said, hey, Graham, how's it going? I want to tell you thank you so much. Man, you didn't have to do that. He goes, oh, don't worry about that. He said, what you studying today? I said, well, I'm getting a memorial service ready about Billy Sunday. And he said, oh, I heard about him. And he went and got his coffee. He came back by the desk, threw another $100 bill on the table and took off out the door. I said, man alive, this is awesome. I called my wife. Guess, remember I told you that guy gave me a $100 bill? Guess what? This one's mine. I had to give her the money. But I said, he gave me another $100 bill. I can't believe it. So then the next Saturday, I said, I'm not going back there. If I even say hi, he's going to think it's hi. You know, he's going to think I want money from him. I was totally embarrassed. I didn't want to see him again. What do you do when a guy comes in and you make eye contact? He's given you $200 already. What do you see how uncomfortable I was? Or are you not on that uncomfortable? You said, preacher, doesn't bother me. Hey, you know. But I was sitting there and I said, you know what? I'm going to go down the road to another Starbucks 10 miles down the road. So I got in my car and I'm not going to this one. I go 10 miles down the road. I'm sitting out on the patio reading my Bible and just enjoying the sunshine, you know, before the bus meeting. Guess who drives up? Graham drives up with his wife, pulls up right in front of me. They get out of the car and he says, hey, Pastor Shaver, looks like God wanted us to meet again. He goes in, gets his coffee, threw another $100 bill on my table. And I'm just going, what in the world's going on? This guy's following me around. I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? He said, I'll track you down and bless you if I have to, you know. 10 miles down the road. It happened 3 more times after that. In the last 2 years, my angel, Graham, has come by. He's seen me before, and he, you know, wasn't in that friendly of a mood. But it's happened 6 times. I've had 6 $100 bills thrown right on my table just because my Bible was open. Yeah. Lyndon, right on Coke Road. Brother, I'll give you I don't think it only works for me, though. I don't know. Maybe it'll work for you. How did I ever step into that? There's been so many things, you know. I wish I could take time to tell you all the blessings that God has taken care of my family and I. How many say a family our size needs God? 11 kids? Anybody listening to this message? 11 kids? Do you know that none of us have been sick in 17 years? My heart goes out to this lady that has to have the heart valves. None of that kind of stuff's happened to us. And it's not because we're any better or anything. I'm just saying, oh, Lord, thank you so much. I'm so glad I've chosen to serve you. I can only dream of agony. What would have happened to us had I not chosen to serve the Lord? Had my wife said, I don't want church anymore. I'll do something else. Man, I'm glad I found my wife in church. Amen? We knew each other 6 days. 6 days. And we got engaged after 6 days. I said, you thinking what I'm thinking? She said, yeah. I said, are you sure you're thinking what I'm thinking right now? She said, yeah. I said, we're going to get married. And she says, I know it. About a year later, we were married. It's amazing. I want to encourage you tonight. If you've been wondering what it's all worth, can I just encourage you tonight that you've chosen the right church, you've chosen the right pastor, you've chosen the right Bible. Amen. You've chosen the right kind of people to be around. You've chosen the Lord. You've made some fantastic, wonderful choices in your life. Just keep choosing to do what God wants you to do. I promise you, it'll work. And I'm just testifying tonight and just saying it's worked for me. Never been more happy in my Christian life than I am tonight. My marriage has never been more sweeter and joyful than it is tonight. I'm just loving what God has done for me. I don't deserve it. But I feel like some of the choices I made way back, you know, as a baby Christian, they're beginning to pay off. A lady came to us 2 weeks ago. We had a terrible church split 7-8 years ago. It was hurtful. It hurt everybody. I didn't think I was going to make it. I thought I wanted to just give up and just quit. It took 38 people out of our church. And we don't have a big church. Well, one of the gals that was instrumental in the church split after 8 years, she called up my wife a couple Sundays ago. She said, I just want to come over. I want to talk to you. And so she came over right before church on a Sunday night, sat in our living room and said, Miss Shaver, I'm very sorry. I've been harboring bitterness all these years. I caused so much problem in the church. I just want to ask you to forgive me." She cried and gave my wife a big card, got up and hugged my wife and said, "I didn't have any reason to hate you. And we always remember such wonderful times we've had together." And that kind of stuff is rare in a church for that to happen. But I wondered what would happen if I did quit. But I chose to stay, chose to keep going. I promise you, you choose to stay, keep going, keep on trucking, keep going for the Lord. Get deeper into it. Hang on tighter. Get deeper into the Bible, deeper in your prayer life. Just don't let anything get you out of the way of the Lord, because he blesses the habitation of the just. Amen. None of us want God to punish us. Amen. We don't have to be punished if we don't do anything worth punishment. Choose the right way every day. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Blessings will come if we're in the way where the blessings are given. If you're here tonight and you might need to just take a few minutes and spend time at an old-fashioned altar, maybe you need to come tonight and just pray. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? And before I turn it over to our brother, I don't know what kind of invitation you're used to, but maybe we just need to come and take a few minutes tonight and kneel before the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that would say, "There's been some times I didn't make a good choice, but I thank God he's forgiven me and I'm on the right road, and I'm going to keep making those right choices, right decisions to choose to serve God"? Is that you tonight? Praise God. Anybody else? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Are you here tonight and you might not know the Lord? Your greatest choice would be Jesus to be your Savior, to come to him and ask him to come into your heart and be your Savior. Is anyone here tonight that might need Jesus? Do you maybe say, "Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm really saved. I don't really know, but I'd like to figure that out"? Is there anybody here that might need to be saved? If you have doubts, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you? I won't come back and talk to you, but if you're not sure you're saved, would you like to pray, or at least have somebody pray for you? Is there anyone like that tonight? All right, how many would say, "Pastor, I've got some choices that I've got to make real soon. I need God's help with those"? Anybody like that tonight? Let's be praying for one another. All right, brother, God bless you. Come ahead. Amen.
Heads bowed and eyes closed, and just kind of reflect on the message Brother Shaver brought to us tonight, and just that.